Hello and welcome back to the Dune Minute Podcast, your place to dive deep minute by minute into the cinematic adaptation of Frank Herbert's World of Dune. I'm one of your hosts, Zach.
And I'm John.
And we're here, John. We made it. It's Friday. Happy Friday to everyone out there.
End or, of the week.
Or whatever day you're listening to this on.
Sure.
Could I hope be a that Saturday. I hope you have the mentality of it being Friday, whatever day this is. So
I'm gonna listen to this one on a Monday and be pissed off because it's not Friday.
Cool. We are we're right in the middle of some important stuff, important vision from for Paul. So what do you say we just get into it and start talking about what's happening?
Yeah, we left off the end of yesterday's episode with a starting an episode. And our old lady voice from the vision says, "When you take a life, you take your own."
Yeah. Yep.
And then we're snapped back to reality.
there goes gravity.
I think that's one of many times we've made that joke on this podcast.
Oh, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
So he's still staring at the wall.
Yep.
But he's back. And I really connected with Paul in this moment because all he does is like turn away from the wall. But what we hear him go, and as an aging man, I know that even this, the slight movement, if you do it in the wrong way, you're like, oh,
yeah, you get that tightness on like one of your sides or whatever. And you're like, ah, motherfucker. Or if you're like me and you just got up between, you know, takes of episodes and your ankles both popped at the same time as you started to stand up.
Yikes, bud. you ever breathe wrong? That's a fun one.
Yeah.
Just take that inhale. You're like, oh, God. Oh.
It's always the muscles that are like not fully on your side, but like not your abs either. It's the ones like in between that get super tight for me.
I always think it's the end. I'm like, this is it. This is how I go.
Every time I breathe wrong, I suddenly have appendicitis.
I don't know what he was groaning at though, Paul. It's very audible. It's even in the subtitles.
I groan at everything.
He's supposed to be like 15 in this movie.
Yeah, but he's had a rough, you know, 24 hours.
That's fair. He was in a ornithopter crash not too long ago.
Yes. And then also sprinting across the desert for his life because he fucking thumped hard on drum sand.
Yeah, that's fair.
So earlier this week, I hinted a little bit at a incontinuity in the movie.
We are at
incontinuity time. Or continuity error time, whatever you want to call it.
Incontinuity, is that where you shit yourself?
incontinence time, baby. We got tubes in our asses. Let's go. Paul's wearing the wrong shawl.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I missed this completely.
Paul had always worn a black shawl. He's now wearing a light tan shawl.
Yeah?
Yep.
Hmm.
Because he's taking the shawl off and everything, himself for this fight.
Do we see the black shawl earlier in this week?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Friday's episode last week when they're taking the shawls off and everything, getting ready to.
Interesting. Okay.
You know, do the thing because Stilgar is, you know, starting to front on Jessica and whatnot. So
maybe this is his contemplating.
Contemplating shawl.
Yeah,
he's got his desert shawl, and then he's got his contemplating shawl, and then he's got his sad boy shawl, and then he's got his
a shawl for every occasion.
Shawls for chawl. That's the continuity error that I've noticed.
Okay, good deal.
Yeah.
Wow. 2 in 1 week.
This movie's really fucking up. I will say I feel like there are a lot of errors in this end sequence that.
Yeah, I don't know the order in which they filmed everything. I know they don't film it in like chronological order.
No, they do. That's how movies are made, idiot. How do you think they have to film it all perfectly? Because you can't like go back later and like rearrange it.
No joke. For a long time, that's how I thought they made movies.
I used to think that way as like a 6 or 7 year old kid.
Yeah,
I was like, holy shit. They're having to do so much stuff.
It just made sense to me, but no.
Yeah.
Yeah, that seems like a big, I mean, if that is the case, it seems like a big miss on the wardrobe department.
Yep.
I can't think of it an in-universe explanation.
Don't know.
Yep.
What I do know, though, is that Jessica's sitting off in the corner, and she is, once again, stressing the fuck out.
Yep, yep. She's starting to do it. I mean, at least rightfully so now.
Yeah, I mean, her son is maybe about to die.
Yep.
So.
In this moment in the books, Jessica is, again, panicking.
Panic.
So, do you remember back when they were in the ornithopter with the Harkonnen goons?
When they were gooning in the ornithopter?
Gooning in flight, which is, you know, largely frowned upon, yeah.
There's no FAA on Arrakis to stop them.
That's true. That's very true. That book sequence is a little bit different than the movie sequence. I don't know if you remember me telling you about, in the books, Paul kicks a man to death.
Yeah.
Then. And that technically is the first time that he's ever killed.
Yep.
He does not, I don't think he knows that he killed that guy.
Yeah.
Because in this moment when he's getting ready to fight Jameis, Jessica keeps saying, like, she doesn't say, oh, he's never killed someone, or she's thinking this, really, but, oh, he's never killed someone, he's never done this before. She's like, he's never killed someone with a blade. He's never taken a life in this manner.
Yeah. Well, that conversation will be much more important next week.
Yeah.
During those episodes.
Yeah, for sure.
Definitely have some more to talk about then.
Yeah.
In the meantime, though, Chani approaches Paul as he's, you know, beginning to prepare for this fight.
Yep.
She says to him, I do not believe you're the Lisan al Gaib, but I want you to die with honor.
Some faint fucking praise there, buddy.
Oh. I know, right? But she hands him a Kriss knife, and then we immediately get a flashback to the vision of the knife that we saw three times previously. Same shot, by the way.
Yep. If you remember the words that were being spoken at one of the times we saw that, he says explicitly, he says,
someone will hand me a knife. Yes.
Yeah.
And then Chani says something that was very interesting to me.
Okay.
This Kriss knife was given to me by my great aunt.
I didn't know what to think of this.
Well, so hold on. Paul takes the knife from Chani, and that's where our minute ends.
Yeah. Yep.
Because there's some dialogue immediately afterwards, but the minute cuts between that.
Mm-hmm.
So here's what I think. We've had many conversations about how Chani is actually the daughter of Liet Kynes, and Liet Kynes is a man in the books.
Yeah.
I think this is the screenwriter's kind of subtle way of still connecting Chani to Kynes and implying that Kynes in the movie is still a relative of Chani, but is Chani's aunt, not Chani being Kynes's daughter.
Interesting. Okay. I had not thought of it from that perspective.
That was my kind of, we're still connecting these two characters interpretation of this sequence and everything. Without it being the connection that we know from the books.
Yeah. I mean, if they wanted to make it a firm connection, they could have been like, this was given to me by my great aunt, Liet
Kynes. This was given to me by Liet Kynes, my aunt.
Yeah. Okay, cool.
Sorry for your ears having to edit that shit, but
that's okay.
But yeah, that was kind of how I saw that.
Yeah.
Which would be if that line of thinking is correct, would be a nice way to kind of still tie it all in together and everything.
Yep.
I don't think Chani would have expected Paul to know Kynes, so, you know, it would have been way too weird if it was like, yeah, this was given to me by my aunt, Dr. Liet Kynes, you know.
Yeah.
So I think leaving that open to interpretation was the smart thing to do.
Yeah, that's fair. That's a very, very subtle, like, connection to be drawn there, because I think most people would not have.
It's one of those, if you know, you know, kind of.
Yeah, that's fair.
Things. I did a little bit of looking into it. That doesn't exist in the book at all.
No.
There's, I guess the book theory is that, because we don't know what happens to the knife that Shoutout gives Jessica in the movie. And
that's true.
I believe it's said that Jessica had the knife at least the night of the attack. But
yeah, I mean, I'm assuming once they got captured by the Harkonnens,
it would have been taken.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So like, yeah.
All right. Cool. I like it.
That's why I think it was a specific movie tie-in.
Yeah.
Kind of thing to say to the people, hey, for those of you that know what's going on, we here's your nugget of of continuity.
Here's your spice morsel.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. Just a little bit from the books then. I mentioned a couple days ago that there's some time that passes in between them encountering the Fremen to this fight.
Yeah. At least a few hours with the sun beginning to come up.
Yeah, I think it's a night that happens. Or, yeah, it's some indeterminate amount of time. Enough for them to get to that secondary location. The secondary location is called the Cave of Ridges, where they're, you know, getting closer to Siege Tabir. This is like a stopping point for them. Siege Tabir. And this is when, like, Jameis has kind of been, like, stewing this whole time that they've been traveling.
He's just fucking foaming from the mouth the entire time. Just,
well, in the, so that Fremen that Paul knocks down and takes the pistol off of.
Yeah.
I still think that might have been Jameis in the movie, because that's how it is in the books. Paul is the person who knocks him, or
I would have to, I would have to go back and watch that sequence.
Well, that person had the same headdress on as Jameis did. So I think it was Jameis that he knocks down.
So it's just even more insult.
Yeah. Yeah. So, we see Jameis like getting up before he
pushed down by this little boy. God damn.
So he's like, his pride is hurt.
Yeah.
He's been, you know, stewing on this the whole time. And, I mentioned that, Stilgar and Jessica have that, you know, long conversation. People are like looking at them like, what the hell's going on between those two? So far as Jessica's like, I think they're going to start getting ideas, right?
Yeah.
They're going to start thinking that we're hooking up or something. That is made explicitly clear that, that is not going to happen through this conversation. So they get to the Cave of Ridges and their water discipline is loosened a little bit. They stop for like a snack and Chani hands Paul this like spice bread thing, like some food.
Yeah.
He eats it and it is such a concentration of spice within this that it sends him into another like trip, which is what we're seeing in the movie here. He sees the fight with Jameis much in the same way that he does in the movie. Sees a lot of other stuff that we won't get into, but yeah, then that's when he's like snapping out of this. We don't hear the conversation between Chani and Paul in the books, but Chani is definitely like prepping him for the fight as well. One thing that we do hear from her is that she gives him like tips.
She tells him specifically that Jameis is able to fight with either of his hands,
which is another foreshadowing to the
very important. Yes.
So yeah, Jessica's still freaking out because Paul is, you know, 15 in the books and he's never killed a man in this way.
in this way, asterisk.
Yeah. There's a point where in the argument leading up to the fight, she starts to try to use the voice on Jameis. And he's like, this witch is putting a spell on me.
Witch!
Yeah, pretty much. And Stilgar orders her to be silent.
Yeah.
At some point, Stilgar like leans over and asks a question to Jessica. And like, as soon as he gets done asking the question, he goes, you can't talk right now. He's like, oh, I forgot you can't talk. Stilgar in the books is funny as fuck, dude.
We get it a lot more in part two.
Yeah.
But I think Javier Bardem does such a good job with those like light comedic like quips and stuff.
He does.
Like I said, it's a fucking perfect casting for Stilgar.
Because Stilgar's got a bunch of them.
Yeah. So.
All right, cool. I think that's all that I'll say about the books for now. We got some more coming up next week, obviously.
Yeah, next week is a big week.
Yes. Oh, yeah. So what would you say you rate this week, my boy?
First of all.
My guy.
I'm not your buddy guy.
I'm not your guy, chief.
I'm going to give this week. Whew, it's a good week. We get a lot of Fremen culture. We get a lot of lore. We get a lot of really big ramping up for action.
Yeah.
It's a solid 7, 7.5, I think.
Yeah, that feels right.
Yeah.
I've said this before on the pod. I love it when they introduce like the deep lore stuff into this movie.
I mean, having the Amtal and the Sayadina both mentioned within seconds of each other.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Gave us a lot to talk about on Wednesday.
True.
Shout out again to Kaff for all of his contributions as well.
We've kind of been in a lore, pardon the pun, desert for a little bit.
You thought of that one plenty of time ahead.
Yeah, and I wouldn't do it anyways.
Right.
So, yeah, we've kind of been without like a lot of this deep lore stuff for a while. So we just get punched in the face with it this week.
I think the last like lore heavy thing was the Dream of Vigraine Arrakis. Mm-hmm. And that was 20 minutes ago.
Something like that. So
I'm trying to think because that episode released this week, but we're, you know, recording obviously
way in advance.
Yeah.
So happy to be back in the warm embrace of a lore heavy week.
Well, we're gonna have a lot of lore heavy weeks when we start part two.
Cool, man. Well, that'll do it for this week.
Yep.
I'll let you carry the socials because I still not memorized them.
As always, you can find us on Instagram at the Dune Minute. We are on Blue Sky at Dune Minute. We are on Twitter at Dune Minute. And you can email DuneMinute@gmail.com if you'd like to get in touch with us. We will be back on Monday with more of the Dune Minute podcast. In fact, this coming Monday, I believe, is going to be our last full week of the Dune Minute podcast. At least of movie-related minutes. We'll have some minutes to fill in the week after, but
We're getting close.
We're almost there, man.
Yep, almost to the end.
I'm not going to lie. I'm kind of sad.
we got Prophecy coming up. As of this record, we have Prophecy coming up. It's still not been released yet.
Yep.
So we got plenty to fill our Dune-sized hole in our lives. Sure,
and we're going to have some other things to talk about as well. Zach is playing with Ada. Ada is just rolling around on her back. Having the best time of her life, so we're gonna go ahead and end this. So she just rolled off the couch. Anyways, let's wrap this up. Cool. It's been a great week.
Yep.
We will be back on Monday with more episode of the Dune Minute.
All right, see you then.